Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Oh, just a few minutes ago in the studio, I actually said these words. Jane, I missed you.
And, I know,
and
you
then
do. It's
that,
desperate
that
and
sentiment
sad.
All went by the wayside because I can't get you to stop talking here as we start the show.
I know. You hate that I'm smarter. It's so hard for you, and it's okay.
How are you, Jane?
I am better than I deserve.
Off for a couple of weeks. We had Thanksgiving last week, and you had a birthday on Friday, so we were unable to celebrate what you're on
properly.
Medicare now, right?
Well, no, we're the same. You and I are the same age
I don't
for a few
that.
Months.
I simply don't believe that.
I know. You are a lot older.
6 months older. She's here with us, triumphant return after a few weeks off from the roundtable. Donna Behringer, state rep, also with us. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Mark.
Oh, there's the wrong mic. Got to start with the right mic. Let's see if I can get it right on TJ Moe. TJ Moe is with us, former Mizzou and NFL player. And I've noticed.
That's an overstatement.
I've noticed, certainly not for Mizzou. You spent a couple of years in the league, but you had some injury issues, didn't you?
Tore my Achilles, yeah. Never did play it down. I spent some years on IR up there in my. I told Annie Fry when I was on last week, my claim to fame is that I have showered with Tom Brady. So there you go.
That counts.
Would you like to offer any more details about that?
I need to be alone now. And I used to be a Brady hater, too, and I've come around.
I've come around, too.
I have come around.
Well, the whole reason to hate him like left him. Town. What's to hate now?
I mean, well, that, too.
That's probably
yeah,
true.
And it wasn't even about that. I hate they wore UGG boots. That's where I sort of left him.
Oh, we all got those in our locker that year.
Seriously. Did
oh, is that
really?
True?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, for Christmas, he gave everybody UGG boots.
Awesome.
But now, that show on him is really good, by the way.
Mm.
What is it, The Man in the Theater?
TJ is here because...
Man in the Arena.
Yeah.
Let me dial it back to the show. TJ is here because he is a very prolific tweeter, not unlike you, Jane. And he's on the right side of these issues, so we're on one side of the table here, mm-hmm. and Donna and you on the other. But let me start here with just something that's breaking today, and we were going to get into this topic. It's fascinating because a prosecutor in Michigan now has charged the parents in connection with four counts of involuntary manslaughter in connection with the school shooting earlier this week. Now, the parents are missing.
We learned this morning when you did that charges would be announced. So we began to... the process of going to get those individuals, because up to that point, there were no charges levied or pending. We had contact with the attorney for the parents, and the parents said with the attorney, apparently, that they were going to turn themselves in for the arrest. The attorney said she would make that happen this morning. And when we were notified by the prosecutor's office that she was going to issue charges, then we went to move to arrest the parents. And at that point, a little later in the morning, the attorney said the parents are now non-responsive.
Yeah, so they're not in custody right now. This was a fascinating news conference by this district attorney in Michigan filing these charges against both the mother and the father. And then we find out some details. So the gun was a 9mm Sig Sauer that was bought by his dad on Friday, given to him, and then he actually... says my and social media, he says my new beauty, and then posts a picture of it. This is weird. On Monday, I mean, this whole thing is just tragic and bizarre. On Monday, when a teacher reported seeing their son searching online for ammunition, his mother actually texted him, LOL, I'm not mad at you. You just have to learn not to get caught. Now, that's not to say that she knew he was going to, you know, shoot up the school.
No, that came later.
On the other hand, well, but wait, on the morning of the shooting, they're called to Oxford High School. One of the teachers finds a note that he had drawn, scrawled with images of a gun, a person who had been shot, a laughing emoji, and the words, blood everywhere, the thoughts won't stop. So that's the thoughts won't stop.
Help me.
So they get called in for this meeting. They didn't want him removed from school that day. They didn't ask him whether he had the gun or search the backpack. And then you have the issue of the school's culpability here, too, because how in the world could they have put this kid back in a classroom? So let's just start with the charges against the parents, Jane. I'm a Second Amendment guy. I'm a gun owner. I have no problem with charges against these parents in this case, given what I know so far. Now, they're going to have their... If they show up, they'll have their day in court. But I don't think these are inappropriate charges. The question is, can they be proven? The law, as you know, you're a lawyer. Sometimes these things get tricky when it comes to this type of application of the law.
Absolutely.
Because this is very unusual.
A very passive sort of involvement. And when I first heard charges, I was like, uh-oh. I mean, this, you know, I was skeptical because I was like, if they overcharge again, you know what I mean? It's because that's been happening a lot, is the overcharging when they know full well. But then I heard the facts. And I was like, oh, boy. And the problem for the parents is, one, a lot of this stuff is in writing, social media. So good luck trying to, you know, deny that. And the fact that they're on the run, the prosecutor should not have been forecasting charges because it just told these people, go ahead and figure out how to get out of Dodge. And so that was not smart. The sheriff.
Well, but something tells me they kind of knew. They had to know it was coming anyway, and just based on what was happening.
I mean, it's pretty rare that people get charged for being that sort of accessory. So, you know,
the sheriff. Wouldn't that be the same as giving your child alcohol that's underage? Here, have alcohol. That's illegal.
Oh, I mean,
wouldn't it be the same as giving
them
a gun?
This is worse. When you're told by the school that he has a picture of bloody people and saying, stop me, and that doesn't cause you to pull your kid out of school and get him into the nearest hospital, you know, that's a problem. But I also think the school. So when the parents failed, the schools still have a duty to protect the school.
Yeah.
And the sheriff was on TV, did a great interview, and he's been very transparent. He said, I can't believe they didn't warn us this was coming so we could put surveillance out on these people. So that would have been very helpful. And he said the school resource officer, the first thing they would have done, if he had been notified that the parents were just bailing, they would have gotten the kid. They would have searched him. They would have found the gun. They would have taken the gun. And either the kid, you know, would have been sent out of school to go get the counseling that they ordered, or he would have been denied having a weapon. But they didn't get the school resource officer involved. So I have the feeling the school is going to be really on the hook.
Well, the prosecutor was very careful today because she was asked a question about whether or not, you know, the anger is justified, and she didn't want to get into the particulars of the school, but she said, yes, the anger is justified. TJ Moe, do you have a problem with charges in this case?
No, I don't think I do. I am as pro-Second Amendment as you will find. I've got 10 or 15 guns at my house in a safe. And I think I encourage most everyone to go get a gun if they are willing to learn the law and learn what to do in the right situations. However, if you can prove that this was past negligence, I think negligence is one thing. And this is kind of what the prosecutor is saying. This is far past
this
negligence.
Is reckless.
If you have more or less provided a gun for a crazy person, you're in trouble too.
You've been told that day. You were told that morning that there's something very untoward. I mean, that note would have, if I had seen it, it would have rattled me to my core, and I would have said, get that kid out of here.
Well, you wonder, because we weren't in that room with the morning of the shooting, but how in the world could that conversation have gone in a way where the parents say, we don't want my kid pulled out of school, and the administrators or whoever's in that office says, well, okay, right? Given the facts
that
we have now.
They operate afraid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the environment, the culture now, teachers, principals, school boards, they're very leery of upsetting parents.
Mm-hmm. Well, they should be, because parents have gotten involved. That's another topic. Do you think, though, you know, let me broaden this out just a little bit, because I've had some things that have happened in my world. And Jane, I told you the story about Chris in the country the other day. I can share it briefly here. This was a story that made the Post-Dispatch on Tuesday. But there was a Don, I don't know if you remember, back in 2016, I made a wager with a listener who would call And I said, you know, I insisted Trump's not going to win. There's no way Trump is going to win. This was October of 2016. And Chris, who had been a regular caller, challenged me. And I said, I'm going to shave my head in the studio if Trump wins. Well, I did not have to shave. Well, see,
Chris,
that's a valid question.
Chris was a nice person.
But so the next day he calls and said, dude, you don't have to shave your head. And we became friends. And I took him to a Cardinals game. And we've stayed in touch ever since. He communicated with me a week before Thanksgiving. Well, then on Saturday morning, I got a message from his mom, and the story that was in the paper on Tuesday was about a woman who was well-known north of here in Illinois for self-defense classes. And her, I don't know all the details, and I don't think anyone does at this point, but the ex-boyfriend, a stalker, whatever, tracks them down in Chris's house, shoots her dead.
Chris was the date.
So he's having her at his house. The stalker, whoever, whatever, X comes in, shoots her in the head. She's dead. She was murdered. He's shot in the head, not found until the next day because it's Thanksgiving then on Thursday. And the families are looking for both Chris and Leslie, and they can't find him. It's just horrible. I mean, this guy's got a 12-year-old daughter. I don't know if I'll ever talk to him again or see him again. But I bring it up also because I don't know about your world, but there's a lot of crazy going on right now. Does anyone agree with that? There is a lot of crazy going on. And I 100%. Think some of it has to do with the pandemic, right? Maybe a lot of it does.
Yeah. I mean, I think people are on edge.
Well, not just on edge. I think everyone, it's like the Wild Wild West. They see other people not following the laws or the rules.
Amen.
They're like, why should I? So that's why everyone's running red lights. Everyone's not stopping at stop signs. People are losing their patience. People are mad they have to work. People are mad they don't have to work. I mean, it's everyone's just...
Lawlessness is like out of control.
It really is.
We allowed it at a state and local level for all the riots last summer. And
we've allowed it for years along those lines.
Yeah. And we refused to send in the National Guard, refused to put a stop to when it got to be crazy. I mean, we obviously saw with the Rittenhouse court case what that type of thing leads to if civilians say, fine, I'll do something about it. It is not good. We're seeing right now Chicago has reached 1,000 murders for the first time since
94. Yeah, I saw that yesterday. It's terrible.
Oh, but it's safe here. Didn't you hear?
There actually are down here compared to last year.
A little bit. Murder is down.
Right. Violent crime is still up. And, I mean, you know, that was a record murder. This is still a very bad murder year for the city of St. Louis.
Sure.
And violent crime is up.
But isn't it up in the county? Because I think
the county, I think it's percentage-wise, is up higher.
But to TJ's point, I mean, we were talking about this a little bit before the show also, that these criminals are emboldened because they know they're not going to really,
they know
in many cases,
in
they won't be chased, they won't be prosecuted.
The risk is low. Under $950 burglaries. They're just setting it up. No longer a felony.
You get a summons.
Yeah. I was actually in Texas this past weekend. A buddy of mine is a lawyer, and he's like, it's all misdemeanors. I mean, good luck. Nobody cares.
Right.
And they're not going to prosecute him anyway.
Right.
So it's getting, I mean, they do know they're in charge. I mean, the police are being told, do not police. Mm-hmm. Found out we're up at to 164 police officers have left the city police department since January. She's not replacing them. We've had a few new recruits from an academy class, a couple retreads, but we're down. That's just people leaving. That doesn't have anything to do with the vacancies that have already not been filled.
Well, who in their right mind would want to fill a vacancy in law enforcement right now? I mean, no offense. I hope we have people that are inspired to do that, but who would do that if they're sane, right? Let's go into law enforcement.
Well, not in the city because you don't have support of the police department, and you don't have the support of your department. You don't have the support of the mayor. You have the support of the Board of Aldermen,
sure.
But you don't have, believe it or not, the Board of Aldermen is supportive of the police, including the Black Caucus, because they're sick of their residents getting murdered and having violence against them, and they actually want something to happen. But in the foreseeable future, I mean, what does anyone think that she is defunding the police by action and by word? So make no mistake. That is going on in the city of St. Louis, and the citizens need to be aware.
All right, hang on. We got some breaking news here. I need my dun-dun-dun sound effect. Missouri has now announced its first case of the sniffles caused by the Omicron variant. The Department of Health and Human Services has announced that the first case...
Somebody get Sam Page on the phone.
And it came from a St. Louis resident right here in the city. More details coming up. Hang in there. It's a Reardon Roundtable for a Friday. Yeah, well, I'm not scared, I'm
not going nowhere. Yeah, you. Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back. It's the Reardon Roundtable for a Friday, and we have Jane back on the panel post-birthday last week. Again, yeah. Happy belated birthday, Donna Barringer, state rep. TJ Moe, former Mizzou. I called you a tight end because I had it in my mind tight end, but technically
I'm very tall, wide.
I always thought you were more of a, but you were a wide receiver. But speaking of wide receivers, Luther Burden Jr. is actually in the building.
In the house.
I went down during the break, and Demetrius was here. DJ was here. Remember, the Friday, he was on the roundtable the Friday before all this happened, and he gave us a pretty signal.
He thought this was going to happen.
Well, he was confident, but then he goes down that weekend, had his last visit with Georgia, right? Oh, my God. Anyway, it was great to meet.
Yeah, they have something to offer.
Here's what's funny, though. I'll put a picture up on Twitter, but I am wearing a SLU
Billikens
basketball thing today because I'm so embarrassed. Sorry, TJ. I'm so embarrassed by Mizzou's basketball program.
I didn't
play
basketball.
I know. It's just we're both.
I know. That's why
again,
I went to
I'm
Mizzou.
Tall. I'm plenty tall. I could have done it. No.
Right.
All 6 feet of me.
Yeah.
Did you ever play in high school, though?
Yeah. Not okay. Very well, but I did.
Well, that's
I did.
All right.
I walked around on a court. Yeah.
Look, you have people my height in the NBA. I mean, that doesn't really, it's not common, but there are 5'10 point guards. Let's move on. I was just very impressed to meet
but
Luther.
But you digress.
And you would agree that this kid is, he's the real
Luther
deal.
Luther has more talent in his left foot than I do in my whole body.
Now, come on.
I'm serious about
this
that.
This guy
is
special.
You better learn Luther Burden's name. You will be hearing it for a while.
So before the break, I mentioned that we do now have, and this will cause all kinds of panic, we have the Omicron variant here in the state of Missouri, and it came from somebody here in St. Louis. Apparently, it says DHSS, this is the news release that just came out, was notified by public health partners of a sample presumed positive for the Omicron variant originating from a St. Louis City resident who had recent domestic travel history. There's panic in the streets, Jane. So I'll start with Donna on this one. Panic in the streets, right? I don't know what to think because I've seen examples of this thing not offering serious symptoms and hospitalizations, although the experts will tell us, we don't know, we got to wait a couple of weeks. We're always waiting a couple of weeks.
Well,
right when we think we're out of this thing, everything's heading in a very positive direction. By the way, I do have some optimism here that I'll provide at the end of this. But right now, people are freaked out again, right?
Right. Well, first of all, I always want to know about the science. I'm a science person. So when I found out,
you should talk to Sam Page and give him some advice.
No, wait. A couple of days ago, I found out that there were some people that I work around that have the variant. I said, what do you mean you have COVID? I mean, not. You have COVID, but what do we know and how do we know if they have the new variant? And they were like, well, I don't know. And I said, well, where did they take their test? And they're just like, oh, well, they probably took it home. So the reason I'm bringing that up is because we probably have way more people that have this variant.
Right, of course.
But because of the testing at home, we're never going to know. So I think there's way more people out there that still have getting the Delta, maybe have this new variant. Mm. But my concern, which is what's going to happen, is the people who want to travel are the ones who have to take the test, the official tests, which get turned into the health department. So then we're going to have some people who may be out and about, no mask, not doing anything, and participating in family get-togethers that are carrying it and giving it out, versus we're going to be telling other people, you have to stay home because we know officially that you have it. Mm. So now I'm kind of, I personally am starting to get conflicted because we are not being consistent. And so people are getting
We haven't been consistent from the very beginning.
We're agitated. Right.
Well, they're not going to get tested in a way that it will get sent to the Department
of Health. But the only concern that I have, is this going to make things worse for hospitals moving forward? I mean, right now,
we don't know
a lot of the questions, but everyone's
afraid.
The fear porn is taking over.
According to South Africa, where they found it, every case they've seen has been incredibly mild. A lot of people aren't even sure that they have it, except that they got tested. So, and that's what we've seen everywhere. The problem is you hear coronavirus, and that's it. You're done.
Panic.
Everybody locked down. People are crazy. Sam Page is crazy.
He literally is.
I think
say what you were going to say. You
I
said it
like
during the break.
Paging Dr. Pander. Yeah. Shut it down. I mean, this
but
guy.
But you're saying that Sam Page is probably
for a shutdown. Well, politically, mm-hmm. This has always been political for him. He's got a base that wants him to. I mean, this guy hasn't shown up to a council meeting in months. I mean, it's embarrassing. And he goes out maskless everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Goes the, you know.
Blues game.
Yeah, goes to the Blues game, goes to dinners and all this in big crowds, sitting next to Ernie Trakas, an avowed anti-masker, anti-vaxxer. And, you know, and that's fine. But this is politically for him. He's a one-trick pony. He has no other issue to run on. So if he can turn this into a shutdown, there would be nothing better in the universe.
On the variant, so there was some research that came out yesterday, and this is weird, and I don't understand it all. Evidence from South Africa's NICD, which is their health organization, suggests that people with natural immunity due to prior infection, so if you've had COVID, right, you think that's a good thing? Not with this. You're three times more susceptible to reinfection from Omicron than prior strains. Well, that's not confusing. Does anyone know? Now, I think why, and this is where it gets into the weeds with the science, is From my standpoint, you hear something like that, and I think people, when they think of the vaccine, would say, well, why do we need to get vaccinated if it's not going to help me, right? Because we don't know that the vaccine is going to necessarily help you. They think it is. They hope it is, but we don't know, do we?
Well,
and if natural immunity is not going to help you with this thing, where are we left?
Well, first of all, we don't. The pandemic task force in St. Louis has specifically said that we're still suffering from Delta, okay? So they're not even on Omicron, mm-hmm. All right? And so, I mean, which tells you something, that, you know, it's not filling up our hospitals yet. Mm. That may happen. If that happens, we need to deal with it. But what I'm getting tired of is that we have to do the pre-measures before we know what the situation is. I think there has to be some sort of presumption that you do the least restrictive measures, you know, that you can, because people are exhausted.
Well, because people have moved past it, too.
Well, how about the legal one? Sam Page is still running around trying to tell everybody things are in place.
The law doesn't apply to him,
right,
I'm telling
you. Exactly.
So, one, he's lying to us. If you ever want us to not believe you, have something ruled in court and then lie to our face the next day.
Well, then have your crazy director of health sending out emails calling mm-hmm. everybody lunatic fringe and then lying that he was racially assaulted.
Yeah.
And then Scam gets up there and, like, defends this guy. And everybody's regardless of how we feel.
She's on our side, TJ. I'm bringing her over.
On this issue, she's looking for trouble.
I mean, and I wear a mask. I'm triple vaccinated.
Yeah.
I believe in all that, but you cannot believe a word that comes out of these people's mouths.
No,
and,
that's right.
And so I get angry when citizens get vilified when they're asking legitimate questions. They're being vilified as MAGA. And yes, there are some kooks. But you have a right to be a kook at a local governmental meeting. That's America. There's nobody dangerous. There's nobody saying, I've been to all of these meetings. These people are not a threat. They're allowed to say their piece. Some of them are way out there. But, you know, it's no different than, you know, the crazy lefties who are like, I'm never, ever going to leave my house unless it's a NARAL event.
But
how big
is that sample
county.
Size?
New to St. Louis County.
Because St. Louis City has always had very hostile meetings when I was there, mm-hmm. where we had police protection.
Right.
So we've already been down that road.
Yeah,
Mark,
now
how big was the sample size in that study?
On the South Africa study?
Uh-huh.
I'd have to look. I don't know.
The
but
reason I ask
initial,
is because,
though.
Exactly, right? The studies change. Wait 2 months, three months, and the studies change. What we've seen seen thus far in all these studies, I'm not a scientist, but I can read a general study. So if somebody is a scientist, go ahead and correct me. What we've seen thus far is the vaccine gives you a very specific narrow protection. And that is why they're talking about tweaking it when it comes to the variants. Your natural immunity is much broader. And that's why thus far it is supposed to have been protecting you against Delta and perhaps Omicron. So the point is that it does not make basic logical sense for that to be true.
No, I would agree with you. Now, look, I went out. I got boosted this week. I got my booster a couple of days ago, and I
felt, live to tell about it.
I did. I felt, and I was only a little off yesterday, but I was really hoping to be sick because it was 70 degrees, and I was hoping. That
yeah, I agreed to this before
symptoms,
I saw the weather.
Yeah, the symptoms were right. Exactly. But you know, I think this is going to leave some people. Here's where we are. Some people think the vaccines kill more people than COVID. All right, that's not true.
Right.
But the rest of it, where you have questions about the efficacy of the vaccines.
Well, that's because you want to kill grandma. You say that because you want to kill kids and you want to kill grandma. Because if you question anything,
right,
that's the problem. And I think that scientists are really smart and they can withstand people questioning and they can answer questions and they don't have to be worried about people challenging them because they're smart. You know, so this idea that we're tamping down discussion of this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And so I always thought that our job was to make sure that we don't overthrow the healthcare system, right? That's what government is, to make sure that the resources aren't depleted such that they can't help people. But it's turned into some people saying, like, we have to control every single case. That's not going to happen, okay? We are not a society that is driven toward, we're going to prevent every possible bad thing that could happen to a human being in the United States, okay? If people don't want to get vaccinated, that's a little bit on them. And if they get sick, it's on them. Now, if they are overrunning our healthcare system, then we've got to step in. But right now, that's not happening. And I have trouble with doing over measures when the only thing we're supposed to protect from is overrunning of the
hospitals.
Because,
by the way, because if there's, you need no better evidence of the measures from last year where we went way overboard, mm-hmm, and it didn't, by the way, it didn't work, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then we get to this year, and I don't know. I think that what's happening right now, and I'm going to offer you a little pessimism and a little optimism. I've got people that I trust a little bit more than others. I think we all do in the media. And a couple of those people are a little concerned right now about Omicron, okay? Now, maybe that's just because they're healthcare people and they're looking at some of the signs, they're looking at some of the data. You see what's happening in some of the other states right now. However, this is very encouraging, I think, and we got to get past maybe the next month or two. But David Lenhart wrote about this in the New York Times this morning. We've talked about these pills and we've heard about the pills.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is a game changer. And in the simplest terms, the way he described it is they can turn COVID into more of an ordinary respiratory disease. Now, it's not just one pill. It's a series of pills. But if you do, and Pfizer and Merck have products coming out, if you do test positive, you can take the pills and they will reduce your symptoms, which is going to reduce hospitalizations and everything
else.
Which
is what we want,
right,
to be done.
But I want to go back because my husband, unfortunately, went to the emergency room in August at MoBAP. And we were
COVID related or non?
Non-COVID
related.
Okay,
all right.
Okay. And so because he got taken in by ambulance, he got to go into the emergency section. And when I showed up, you know, to the hospital, the entire waiting room was all COVID people. He was in the hallway for the 4 hours we were there. We never got a room because every single room at the hospital was full of people who had COVID that were not vaccinated. And I was angry because my theory is if you choose not to be vaccinated, that's your choice, right? You don't get to clog up our healthcare system.
Well, I would agree with that. But my question would be, how do you know? Because if you look, and the pandemic task force has this breakdown, there are a lot of people in the hospital who are vaccinated.
If you can't hardly tell the difference between who's vaccinated and who's not in the hospital, if there is no significant difference between the two, because we know that the average person is 74% of the people who've been hospitalized, the number one factor is that they're obese. The second thing is you have 4+ comorbidities. And so those are way bigger factors than vaccinated or unvaccinated.
I think that cannot be emphasized. What you just said there cannot be emphasized. And it's never talked about.
Yes, what I'm trying to get at is a lifestyle thing. Okay, so we're talking about a 1 second choice of getting vaccinated. We can say that's easy. We're talking about a lifetime choice of probably the vast majority of people who are obese have done it to themselves. So if you're vaccinated and obese, why do you deserve a hospital bed more than somebody who is in shape and unvaccinated?
Well, that's called health ethics, and that's why they have courses on it, because they will have.
But that doesn't not make it an invalid question.
Button,
it's a very good question.
But what it says is you do have to quantify if you're going to do that. Right now, if we're going to have anyone gets in because they have, you know, the COVID, well, then how do you decide when there's only so many rooms?
Totally understand. So
they've been doing
chain
that.
Smokers are in this, right?
Yeah.
Drug people who drunk drivers, right? We can go down this list of who deserves to be served or not, and it's a long list. So I don't think we want to go down
That's
the road
do.
Of who do we serve and who don't right. we. And I totally, by the way, totally understand your concern of somebody who had to go to the emergency room, a family member. I get it. I just don't know how you say, okay, serving these people, not these people, because it's a very hard thing to quantify.
Well, because you and this is something we'll never probably be able to prove, and it won't be featured in, you know, the history of COVID, but to your point, there are people that are healthy that maybe have had COVID that feel like they don't need to get the vaccine, that it's not worth the risk. I respect that, especially given what we know about the vaccine compared to earlier this summer. So I think that's important. But you can't just say and this is what we're hearing now. It's booster vaccine. That's what Biden's mm-hmm. telling us, right? People don't buy that right now. You're going to have to do better than that, because they're suspicious. They don't trust what they're hearing. They have good reason to not trust what they're hearing. So I think all this talk about the booster and the vaccine, I don't know that's going to inspire a bunch more people who aren't vaccinated to get vaccinated. Do you think the scare tactics about Omicron will?
At least Biden is saying, I'm not going to do a shutdown. I mean, I wish he would pick up the phone and call scam.
Well, his numbers are so bad, he can't do that, Jane. That's one thing that's out of the mix. Hang on. TJ Moe is with us. We're breaking in a newbie this afternoon on the Reardon Roundtable. Donna Behringer, state rep, and Jane's here as well. Oftentimes I get to this portion of the roundtable and I call for a speed round, because we've had great conversations, but there are a bunch of topics I have not touched upon. So on some of these, we might not let the entire panel weigh in, especially if I disagree with one of you, then we'll just kind of move on. But
yeah.
Donna, let me start with you on Donna Behringer, state rep. TJ Moe is with me this afternoon, Jane Duker as well. But on the Rams settlement, and Jane, I'd be curious mm-hmm. actually on everyone's opinion on this, but I know that you have some opinions about the money and the money being spent. Mm-hmm. So thoughts there, because I don't know how this is all going to work out with the pieces of the puzzle. How we can't agree on anything okay. in this region.
So let me start with, this is the St. Louis Regional Convention and Sports Complex, and that's who owns. That's who owns it. So that's why people get confused.
You're talking about the dome and the convention center. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right.
And so it's just run by St. Louis Regional, but that's who owns it. So when the money comes in, that's who's going to decide how it's spent. When it was put together with funding from St. Louis County, St. Louis City, and the state.
Okay.
And then when our friend Kroenke decided that he was going to bail on us, all right, we all knew he was buying up property in California. However, we knew that the NFL contract stated that we had to come back, and we had very clear things that we had to hit, markers. And so the marker was at least $700 million investment, which they keep saying in the Post-Dispatch. The finance package that we put together in the city of St. Louis to keep them here was $900 million to keep them here, okay? And the city of St. Louis is the only one that came to the table and ponied up, all right? So we did it, but we also did it because we knew we were in compliance with that contract. We pretty sure Kroenke was going to bail on us. And if he did, at least that left us a plan B, which is we will sue you. All right. So that does happen. And during this whole time, what upsets me is if you're an elected official, you get a lot of criticism when you take votes like that. So it was a difficult vote, but we took it. Thank God we took it, right? Because then we sue him, and now we're getting all this money. And now everyone thinks
it's... Some people think it should have been more money that, you know,
you can
this
say
was...
it could be more money. It just spends
well,
more time
here's why
court
it's not.
And goes
here,
to lawyers.
Right. Well, and here's why it's not more money, because I think that they properly settled, because what people keep forgetting is there was an arbitration award that already told Stan Kroenke he could leave. Okay, that dome was not compliant and was not top tier the day it opened. And everybody knew that they were told they had the right to leave. Now, we wanted them to abide by their own relocation guidelines, which they didn't. And, I mean, but that's because when they moved from L.A. to St. Louis, the way that they got out of the lawsuit from L.A. was saying, oh, no, no, this is not an antitrust problem because we follow our own rules. Well, now they got whipsawed on that because they weren't following their own rules. And that does lead to liability situations. So there was legal sort of jeopardy on both sides.
The lawyers that I have listened to on this, is the sports lawyers, say we're cowards. There is no way we should have settled, that this could have been upwards of $10 billion when you have punitive
damages.
Well,
here's the problem, though, and this is where I deviate from some of the sports lawyers, is that, yes, we may have gotten a runaway jury verdict, But there's never been a more hometown trial like in the history of the United States when you have actual plaintiffs who are probably on the jury.
Sure.
That's a big deal. And people kind of overlook that. At some point, the Supreme Court might have gotten involved. You know, if there's a runaway verdict, there is a risk that somebody picks it up and says, legally, you're done.
This was never going to go to trial. It just never was going to go to trial. No matter. Now,
it should have, though. Settlement had been higher. We needed to see discovery.
Oh, I agree with
you. Needed to see.
That was our leverage. That was it. Not legal leverage. It was political leverage because we were going to look under their skirt. And that is what they did not want.
Because so here's what.
They have antitrust problems everywhere.
Exactly right. Here's what I. And they're not exempt from antitrust like the MLB is. So there's certainly some differences. Here is what I was hoping for and why I am upset that we settled. I'm more than happy that we got $900 million. But the problem is this. We were going to win with a stacked jury.
Yes.
They were not going to. Court of Appeals is very, you know more about this as an attorney than I
right.
do. But everything
there may
I
have been a ruling later, years later,
yes.
but we would have won.
But
years later.
The NFL would have said, screw it. We will give you $600 million in a team. And that's what was ultimately going to happen.
I don't think they were ever going to give us a team.
No,
I think they hate us so bad now that we will never get a team in this town.
We have there are some fairly. There's one guy that
if the numbers get high enough, they may not have had an option.
Their entire
I never bought into that.
But
either,
nobody was going to build a stadium here. So how are we ever going to house a team?
It's a lot cheaper to build a stadium than pay out $10 to $12 billion.
I mean, I don't see Deshara or Sam building a stadium. Maybe in St. Charles they would have, but there's no way.
The NFL tried to give $300 million to San Diego to stay there, and they offered us nothing.
$300 million is not a billion. We need a billion for a decent stadium. I mean, $900 million.
Well, it's a moot point at
did.
This point. And by the way, this is putting my speed round into serious jeopardy. So
it's a great issue.
But the original question that just got lost is how is the money going to be spent, Donna? All right, I know we got into the particulars and the nuance here, but isn't this going to be ugly moving forward?
Okay, here's who's going to decide how that money is spent, and that is the board members of that.
That's
commission.
Why Parsons going to,
and that's why who gets appointed, because they all they're on expired terms.
Mm-hmm.
I think for one or two,
five of them.
Yeah, on
oh,
expired
really?
Terms.
Five of them.
Five of them.
Jane, give me on that board.
Yes, and
give me on that board. Come on, Parsons likes me.
I would apply. If
and
I were
we need
you.
To have people on that board that understand the need to put back investment into our city of St. Louis, because we have to have tourism, we have to have conventions, because all those restaurants.
Not with the crime problem that we have,
exactly.
Donna.
Well, that would be part of it. That would be part of it.
Part
of what?
You got a mayor that won't even take the money from Jeff City.
But she doesn't have control of this money. This board does.
She has control of the police department. That's the problem.
But if this board decides to put $100 million into public safety, they can choose to do that. And that's why we should focus on who those new board members are.
I don't know what the dollar would be, but public safety in Tashar Jones's eyes is completely different than public safety.
It's defund.
Compared to everyone. Yeah, right.
Okay, I mean, let's go back to the
they
fact
want to
that
send counselors.
This is not the mayor's money. This is not St. Louis County's
money.
But
them having money doesn't give. She has the police department. They can't like just start their own police department.
No, they couldn't start their own police department, but they would be able to do all the other things we've not been able to
so
do.
So, Donna,
down
the question
here.
Is if they award that money to the police department, can she keep them from spending it?
Oh, that's an excellent question.
Well,
I don't have an answer, but she certainly
because if she wants to defund the police, it doesn't matter how much money you pony up.
But that doesn't mean you can't continue to have like they have in the Central West End. They have their own police department. I mean, they have their own. Jim White,
security officers, private RoboCop.
But it's a finite amount of money is the problem. It's a one-time thing as opposed to getting it beefed up like we did in New York once upon a time and made it a place you could go again. You know, I'm in real estate. We talked about this before. They can't give me a house in North City right now because the crime's so bad. You have more windows boarded up than that are actually functioning. So we have so many problems in North City. My wife is an IT recruiter. The reputation, specifically because of North City, for the whole St. Louis region, she cannot get people to move into the St. Louis area because they're so afraid of the crime. If we don't spend this money on police, we're not going anywhere.
I completely agree. And why?
So do I.
She doesn't get that, but who knows?
Hey, but the concerts. She said concerts were going to take care of the problem. We need more concerts, Mark.
TJ Moe, great to break in on the roundtable this afternoon. You did well. We'll
he
have
did.
You
he
back.
Survived.
I appreciate it. Donna Behringer, great to see you.
Thanks,
Jane, you going to hang out here a little bit?
I am,
as
baby.
As a 60-year-old, first time as a 6-year-old in the 4 o'clock hour. I keep lying about that.
Yeah,
I'm just
going to
keep
so
lying.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.